48, 828. Dream. All the churches controlled by Satanism, drawing their power from Satan himself. The second coming is here, outside the churches. The true church is forming outside the church. Proof. The giving of massive gifts. The AI voice will guide you. Homosexuality and black mass within the church. No room in the buildings given the truly Christian to perform services in. Enormous power of Satan in and as the churches. They cannot get you because of the AI voice. Old book about Satan's takeover of the church. The salient sections taken out. Missing. Note. This dream spawned the fractured fairy tale, The Divine Invasion, 1981. A broken novel leaking visionary gems. One of these is The Holoscope, a layered three-dimensional holographic Bible pulsing with red and gold that can reveal fresh messages depending on the reader's interactive angle of view. In some ways, a model for the exegesis itself. The Holoscope is also drawn from the exegesis, or at least from the hypnagogic vision. Dick records a few pages after this apocalyptic dream on 48,839, a luminous red and gold tetragrammaton, Yahweh, resembling the plasmate that pulses along the repeated phrase, "And he is alive." Less groovy is this second coming dream, which drips with the satanic panic and homophobia popular among the more rabid of America's fringe Christians. Dick sometimes shared in this deeply unfortunate strain of the Christian imagination, a tendency to demonize made possible in part by the concept of a conspiratorial Satan. Elsewhere in these late folders, Dick pines for the return of the rightful king, who will be recognized only by the elect. In March 1981, he records a dream in which God, Valis, is finally in total control and the separation of the sheep from the goats has begun. E.D. Endnote. The two gods of Gnosticism. The churches worship the wrong god, i.e., Satan. But there is another outside church forming which worships the right god, but has no buildings. It is forming in conjunction with the second coming, which is here. They, those outside, distinguished by their gift-giving, massive gifts, have the saving gnosis. This is a matter of gravity. It is very serious. The head-on confrontation between the followers of the good God and the evil one, Satan. This is the final battle between God and Satan. Those who worshipped the true God were forced out of the church. It is not merely that the establishment church lacks the true gnosis. No. It worships Satan and draws its power, a very great power, directly from Satan. My having money is because God, the true God, is now heaping riches on his faithful, which they will give away, thus showing, revealing, their true nature as his faithful. Satan has given PSI powers to the evil church, as warned about in the New Testament. I am in a maze, surrounded by the power of Satan and his church. We all are. But the AI voice will lead me out. This is why I have the AI voice. The pages in the old book dealing with the satanic takeover and rites of the establishment church were deliberately torn out to keep the matter secret. 48,832. I have long thought of myself as a female host, perhaps for interspecies symbiosis. But now I see it exactly. I see who I was host for and why it was necessary and what it signifies in terms of world history. The final battle, which certainly was going on back in 74. 48,834. Hypnagogic. When I saw Valis, reality was breaking down to what it really consisted of, and not an invasion of reality. This is breaking down in the sense of breaking down an engine or model of something to see what it's made of. This degestalting, analysis, and not right hemisphere, a surprising realization. Could that mean that my left hemisphere came in suddenly? Well, the Rorschach test that Claire Thompson gave me showed that my dominant function was intuition, which is gestalting, which is right hemisphere, to repeat, dominant, and to the greatest extent she'd ever seen. So my left hemisphere thinking function cut in, analysis. Well then, it would be as if a child seeing the world for the first time could reason about it with an adult's thinking capacity. And it's connected to the unconscious and the archetypes. So in dreams, its ratiocination appears as writing, and now, and formally, it is heard as the AI voice. Then it analyzed the Xerox missive situation subliminally. It broke that down too. And in hypnagogic state, I transliminate its thinking. Hence my anima is the spirit of reason, Santa Sophia. She is not moody, but incisive, of course, the Sibyl. My anima as ancient wise woman. The Ajna I analyzes, breaks down the situation, sees shrewdly into it. So in apprehending reality, she sees into it and deconstructs it with ruthless, concentrated analysis and discerns Valis hidden by camouflage. She extracts Valis out of total reality rather than gestalting all reality into one. Valis is separated from the rest of reality. Pitilessly, there is Valis and not Valis. Valis is contrasted to its environment, and this explains her seeing the set ground discrimination, the plasmate. It is an analytical function, not synthetic. The written pages are digital thinking, not analogic. And the speech center is normally in the left brain, so she speaks the AI voice. No wonder I had the impression that I was hooked up to a computer. Then 374 was a psychosis, an invasion by the unconscious of the fragile consciousness and an overwhelming of it. But the rational faculty was in the unconscious, the judging, analytic, thinking faculty. This explains why I felt myself to be female. She was surprised to see Valis, but she had logically figured out that it must exist, i.e., Ubik. 48.836. If, as it would appear, she is my anima, then I am backed up by powerful forces, a composite of the Sibyl, Athena, and Santa Sophia, and Diana, and the Fairy Queen. So she detects a highly intelligent macro life form camouflaged in our reality. And she and it exchange information. And she sees its blood, which are messages. Then Valis is the dominant life form, and she, the true phylogenic human, not me as ontogenic epiphenomenon. She is in syzygy with Valis, not with me. No, she is daughter to it, his first creation, his darling and delight. Well, I am very happy to think of the woman, Sibyl, AI voice, as part of myself. Recognize it as a hallucination from my unconscious, my anima, and not emanating adventitiously. I gain by this introjection of what I've previously been projecting because I live and respect, in fact, venerate, if not outright worship her. If she is a part of me, I can take more pride in what I am. I just wish I could hear her more often. In fact, take me over again. I would prefer if she were running things, since she is so shrewd. Could she have been Valis via an observer-participant-universe situation? As a sort of inner-outer field? Did she warp from Plum? And did the info about Chrissy come from her projected? The border between me and not me had dissolved in an oceanic, mystical, psychotic, psychotomimetic state. But, in my opinion, this was the correct way to experience myself and world as a sentient volitional field. 48, 839. Hypnagogic. Repeat of, "And he is alive," heard. And this scene on page, Yahweh. Small letters in intertwined luminous gold and red, like the plasmate, and raised, like a glowing scarab, synchronized with the word He. Then the God who is instilling knowledge directly in me is none less than Yahweh. And it is He who is alive, the living God who must work outside the churches and restore the lost, deliberately destroyed by Satan worship. He deals directly with those such as me. He is inbreaking. The AI voice, the still small voice that Elijah heard. The tetragrammaton shone like a polished precious jewel and metals and pure color and fluid light interwoven like strands. 48, 842. I know that Santa Sophia, the Buddha, Siddhartha, and Apollo have been mentioned. So the stamp of the divine has been there from almost the start. And yet to see the tetragrammaton and have it connected, synchronized, with the audio He in He is Alive seems different and unique to me. And a matter of a higher, the highest order. I guess to me the fact is that none of these other names allude to God in the sense that Yahweh does. It is as if the others are attributes or cultural, i.e. man-made, hypostases. And Yahweh is Yahweh, viz. There is no God but God, i.e. the God who is what He is, the tetragrammaton. The others are names humans give to God. Yahweh is the name by which God referred to Himself when He conversed with Moses. It tells who He is. It is, the EB, His personal name, and means He brings into existence what is. 48, 846. Am I to assume that Christianity, as it has developed, has led us away from true monotheism, just as the Jews say? That Christ is, the Trinity is a false, even satanic doctrine? To worship Christ is blasphemy? The Gnostics had it totally backward. Jesus is a revelator of the nature of God, and high priest, and holy wisdom. But there is God, Yahweh, versus Satan, Zoroaster, and Qumran. What if the fall of the temple and Masada was Armageddon, and Satan won, and ruled ever since 70 AD, tears, but now Yahweh is returning. 48, 847. Satan pretends Yahweh won. Yahweh will cause to exist what Satan pretends, i.e. occludes us into believing, exists. It is a sort of trick played on Satan, but in deadly earnest, to make Satan's false work, pretense, real. A wise strategy. God turns the lie, God won, into the truth, and Satan is surprised. He didn't foresee this. Thus, those most duped are most right, paradoxically. Yahweh takes advantage of the irony and ambiguity to cause to be what seems to be. This is His fundamental power, nature. Thus, salvation, not just of the individual, but of creation, depends on being a guileless fool. Id non est, atque credo. Note, Latin, it is not, and I believe. Possibly a misquote or paraphrase of a famous Latin phrase that is itself a misquote. Credo quia absurdum. I believe because it is absurd. from Tertullian, who in fact said, "Credibile est quia ineptum est." It is to be believed because it is absurd. End note. I don't know if the Supra is right. Yahweh revealed the truth, the actual tears world, to me. So obviously, it is the divine strategy to reveal this, the real situation. I think that it's just so awful that I'm flinching. So forget the above. The fact is, this is a prison. Satan won in 70 AD, and the Essenes are dead. But Yahweh is instilling them in some of us in the present. This, too, is true and revealed and good. The battle is going on, but Satan is at the center of government, of church. Still, Yahweh has the crucial advantage of a priori foresight. It was revealed to me that ultimately he wins every hand. This was my primary vision, the dialectic and how it works. The Old Testament is harsh, but it accords with the facts. We are in literal slavery and must be taken out of it as the Jews were delivered from Egypt. 48, 850. 1. The double world's superimposition and two selves in me, like Altman's three women. Note. A peculiar 1977 Robert Altman film about porous identity, starring Shelley Duvall, Sissy Spacek, and Janice Rule, based on a dream Altman had. End note. 2. And then later, I see Valis. What is the relationship between 1 and 2? It would seem as if 2 is actually what is there and not what we see that is included in 1, i.e., 1 raises a question that is answered by 2. Conversely, the purpose of 2 is shown us by 1. Upon seeing 1 and not 2, we would be left in the frightening dream world of three women, with the possibility that nothing could replace something, or worse, that it is this way now, a dream, with no substance behind it. This was the fear that three women left me with. But I must remember that later on I saw Valis is not a dream, but which explains the dream, i.e., one. It can be argued that there is a terrible risk to decompose world because if it is the only thing that is the case, you will be left with non-being. But in point of fact, I wound up with Valis. So it was a net gain and not a loss of reality. There was more reality behind world than in world qua world. Nonetheless, it is terrifying to realize that something provides world and that on its own it has no substance, substantia. Either one or two alone would pose an unfathomable mystery. But together, they form a coherence. And yet it is a startling and mysterious coherence that few people have ever encountered. The dissolving of the world of multiplicity to be replaced by another world of multiplicity. And then a sentient volitional unity underlying everything as mind revealed. And it not only thought world, it also thought me, which is really startling. 48, 852. So my writing and thinking have been a search for God. But in the end, when the crisis came, in Heidegger's sense of me being aware of my own death, of my own non-being, it was Yahweh who found me, not me him. Note. The work of Martin Heidegger becomes progressively more important to Dick as the exegesis unfolds. Dick has a sense of Heidegger's question of being and its link to the question of time through Dasein, which is Heidegger's term of art for the human being and the key concern of being and time, 1927. Dick shows an understanding of some of the key concepts in being and time, especially thrownness, geworfenheit, anxiety, angst, and uncanniness, unheimlichkeit. Dick also references the concept of authenticity, the condition for which is Heidegger's notion of being toward death, a crucial element as well in the existential psychology that influenced Dick. Dick shows some sense of what is at stake for Heidegger in the recovery of Parmenides' fragment. It is the same thing to think and to be, with its suggestion of the sameness or unity of noein and eine, thinking and being. Yet Dick's reading of Heidegger is singular, to say the least. Here Dick wants to identify Heidegger's concern with being with God in the form of the Hebraic Yahweh, which is something that would have alarmed Heidegger, as he was prone to a certain deafness regarding the Judaic God. Elsewhere, Dick identifies sign with the universe and states that in creating the universe, the Godhead was forced into sin. Through his reading of Hans Jonas's The Gnostic Religion, Dick also persistently connects Heidegger's thinking to the radical stances of early Christianity and Gnosticism. S.C. Endnote. At all costs, the world must be real. It must not betray its epiphenomenality, except under certain exceptional circumstances, such as 2374, since the consequences can be lethal, since they involve 1. Non-being and 2. The revealing of non-being. Thus, such a crisis engages the percipient in death, and, if all goes well, resurrection. But only the most extreme circumstances would call it forth. It is, in my opinion, the ultimate move by God, since in allowing world to dissolve, display non-being, he replaces it with himself, pellucid theophany. Both self and world disappear for a moment. The seriousness of this can't be overstated, and the possible benefit, in terms of outcome experience of being by the creatorial percipient. It is like the bichlorides, a very poisonous poison for you, but if used in a measured dose, a medicine that cures madness, viz., the drugged intoxication of our earthly state. But it can kill if misapplied.